Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, November the 9th. Hope you're doing well. Please excuse my stuffy sounding voice. I have a cold, but I'll try not to sniffle too much through the morning program, which looks to be a good one if I do say so myself. We have Dave Berkman with us this hour to talk about the media news this week about MSNBC making a move to the left to capitalize on the rating success of its popular primetime show, Countdown with Keith Olbermann. Is a left-leaning cable news station a better bet these days? After 7 this morning, we will talk about the appeal of Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul, a listener request. And after 8, we will talk about all the other big political news this week on our regular Friday Week in Review. Hope you can stay with us or join us on and off all morning long. First, MSNBC, the cable news home of Countdown with Keith Olbermann, is reportedly trying to capitalize on the rating success of Olbermann's liberal-leaning, Bush administration-criticizing nightly program by finding more hosts with similar views. There was talk that Rosie O'Donnell was in line for a MSNBC talk show, but that apparently fell through. How smart is this? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send your question or comment via email to talk@wpr.org. Well, let's ask Dave Berkman. He is a retired professor of mass communication at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He is a weekly panelist on the program News and Review on Milwaukee radio station WMCS and a regular guest with us on media issues. And I know from his former program on the Ideas Network, Media Talk, an admirer of Keith Olbermann. Good morning, Dave.
Morning.
Now, I remember you predicting, Dave, that Olbermann was going to give Bill O'Reilly a run for the ratings money, and apparently you're right.
Well, in fact, it had started, it was incipient, you might say, almost from the beginning. What you've got here is something of a trend in terms of both entertainment and news presenting a liberal perspective. I mean, Obviously, Colbert and The Daily Show, Jon Stewart, clearly reflect overwhelmingly liberal views. In entertainment TV, maybe the hottest thing on TV right now is Family Guy, but you've also got American Dad and still The Simpsons, those on Fox Cable, not on Fox. I'm sorry, on the regular Fox over-the-air network, not on the Fox Cable News. And so we're beginning to see that there is a market out there as the country turns more liberal, and all the public opinion polls are showing this, a much larger percentage now of people willing to identify themselves with that label. For years, the problem on the left has been why does the right, especially in radio, dominate so much? It was thought that Air America might change it. Air America has been a big flop, and it's kind of hard to explain why that continues to be the case while the left is flourishing on TV.
Yeah, do you have any theories as to why that might be?
I really don't know, other than the fact that Air America has done it in three-hour blocks with large interruptions for some awfully sleazy advertising. A lot of the viewing of the shows I'm talking about right now is digital video recorded. You know, what we generically talk about is TiVo, and maybe that makes it possible to skip through a lot of that.
Yeah, and what the New York Times this week reported on the ratings, it says that O'Reilly still outdraws Olbermann,
right.
But that he's Olbermann's getting much, much closer when it comes to this. Attractive demographic of 25 to 54-year-olds.
The audience that O'Reilly and Hannity and Combs draw is significantly older. Median age of somewhere in the 60s, again reflecting that people of more conservative values tend to be older.
Yeah. And also we hear this week that MSNBC might hire Rosie O'Donnell, and then we hear yesterday or the day before from Rosie that that's not going to happen after all. Would that have been a smart thing to do you think?
You know, it's hard to say. And the one thing she occasionally flips out, especially, you know, with this wacko, you know, the Bush administration actually carried out 9/11. But she does say a lot of provocative things, and she was responsible for a big upsurge in the viewership of The View.
Yeah. But even without Rosie, MSNBC, according to the articles, is leaning to the left with not only Olbermann, but Chris Matthews and Dan Abrams. Do you agree that Chris Matthews and Dan Abrams lean to the left?
Matthews is a former political operative within the Democratic Party. The one issue that he has been left on was his opposition from even before the invasion, over the invasion of Iraq, and he has been absolutely consistent on that. And most other things, he kind of reminds me of the centrist DLCers. Abrams has been more so in his new show as opposed to the show he had before he left on air work to actually become the general manager.
That's right.
MSNBC. He is beginning to. He does seem to leave the show nightly with anti-administration stuff, but still his forte seems to be kind of scuzzy crime cases. And one of the other popular things on the network, by the way, is a two-hour sleazy doc block, which a lot of which is simply rebroadcasts of the Datelines. We've got the pervert. We've stung the pervert.
Those predator things. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking with Dave Berkman, formerly a host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk, a retired professor of mass communications at UW-Milwaukee, a regular guest on this program and on a program on a Milwaukee radio station, WMCS. We're talking about cable news, MSNBC in particular, making a conscious move to the left to capitalize on ratings. And we wonder what you think about this or if you've noticed this. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, November the 9th. Talking with Dave Berkman, media watcher this hour, about a report that was in the New York Times this week that started, Riding a Ratings Wave from Countdown with Keith Olbermann, a program that takes strong issue with the Bush administration. MSNBC is increasingly seeking to showcase its nighttime lineup as a welcome haven for viewers of a similar mind. Wondering if this turn to the left is a smart idea on MSNBC's part, wondering why this is happening and welcoming your thoughts and questions. Are you a big fan of Keith Olbermann? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We wonder if you would welcome more liberal-leaning hosts on cable TV, or if you already think there are too many. Join in our conversation. Dave, before we go to the phones, it also mentioned in that article that the one host in that primetime lineup on MSNBC Tucker, that he's in danger of being canceled.
Oh, yeah, well, he already was half canceled. He had been doing the show at 3 with a repeat at 5. They canceled the 3 o'clock show, so we just have that 1 hour. You know, he's terminally adorable, but I'm not sure what beyond that. There is almost something juvenile in the way he comports himself, and his audience is virtually nil. Let me just mention something here that relates to what was just said in a promo, at least when it was heard in Madison. I don't know if it was heard on the full network of that Kathleen show today, which is going to focus on the media ownership. One of the things I know I constantly heard when I was doing media talking on this show whenever I've appeared, well, is this whole business about how big major corporations, you know, obviously they're big business, they're aligned with big business, their political views are pro-big business, pro-Republican administrations. But what is a fascinating anomaly here is that MSNBC is a network owned by perhaps one of the most reactionary American corporations historically.
Gee.
So, and that's General Electric.
Yeah.
Comedy Central, which is Jon Stewart and Colbert, are both owned by Viacom, which is, although it's technically spin off from CBS, they're still headed by the same head, Sumner Redstone, who said he's now backing Republicans, or at least he said this in 2004, because while he may have intrinsically been a Democrat, the business is going to be better served if he backs Republicans. And you've got on Fox Broadcasting, as opposed to Fox Cable, what are probably the most subversive left-oriented shows on TV. So that is a fascinating anomaly. It is not a one-to-one correlation that if big companies are controlling it, nothing reflecting opposite views gets through, because the only thing more big corporations care about than ideology is profit. And they're making money off of these things.
I have a...
We also have this question today. Why do people like Olbermann get this viewership? Because they provide insights on the news that the too often lockstep mainstream press forgets. You say you're doing a show the next hour about Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the treatment of Ron Paul is, you know, this wonderfully cuddly curmudgeon who raises all this money. He's clearly against the war, which attracts a lot of those who may be left-leaning. But I'm wondering how many of your listeners know, because I've only seen one report on this. Nobody is picking this up. This cute, cuddly guy, in fact, has written essays in which he says he is personally convinced 95% of black males are genetically predisposed to commit violent crime, and that his domestic program literally would call for the elimination of every progressive piece of legislation or program authorized by such legislation since Teddy Roosevelt, never mind since the New Deal. These are things we don't hear. Why was everybody in lockstep picking up on the McCasey thing about his refusal to talk about, to label torture, waterboarding as torture? Because as horrendous as that is, the thing that really, and only Russ Feingold has spoken about this, that was really of major concern, and you've seen this mentioned almost nowhere else, is that he categorically stated the president has the right to disobey the law when he sees fit.
Yeah, actually, I think I saw that reported on MSNBC, Dave.
Well, it may have been on Olbermann.
Yeah, right.
But that's my point.
Yeah, right.
If you've been following those two stories, and both have been big, especially Paul with the recent splurge in the $5 million, and he's hoping to pull down another $5 million next week on the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party, why don't we know that this guy has expressed views? I mean, we just had Watson, the DNA geneticist, finding himself fired for reflecting the same views.
Yeah, I will certainly talk with our guest in the next hour on Ron Paul about some of those issues you raised. Let me get to a caller. Keith in Shorewood is with us. Hi, Keith. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning, Joy. Good morning, David. How's it going?
Okay.
It's always good to see retired guys get up early in the morning. to your point about corporate ownership, I think one of the things that's been quite interesting this week has been the NBC Universal Green Week that's been going on. Especially, you know, you look at what's happening with the Scarborough program in the morning. It's interesting because that's actually turned out to be one of my favorite morning programs, because it's turned out that Scarborough, with some balance, you know, with Willie Geist and Mika Brzezinski, has turned out to be kind of an interesting show. In fact, Mika Brzezinski has turned out to be kind of a hero to a lot of liberals, especially with that incident when she sent the Paris Hilton story through the shredder.
Right. But Actually, he started his shift about 2.5 years ago in his old nighttime slot. So that gradual shift, but he's still basically a conservative Republican, except on the war.
One thing I want to bring up about back to your thing about media ownership, I think this is kind of what's happening with MSNBC and the network. And I remember you made this comment back in your old show about how Jack Welch bragged that he turned Russert and Matthews into Republicans. Now you got Jeffrey Immelt, who's in charge of GE, and it seems like they're doing this big push towards green, and this Green Week really reflects, I think, the corporate policies of GE.
NBC, Jeff Zucker, the head of NBC, was quite specific on this. By the way, did you catch last night's broadcast of 30 Rock?
Oh, yeah.
In which
they parody that
they totally ripped this as nothing but a plot by evil GE to maximize corporate profits by playing the good guys and coming up with technologies that they can manufacture and sell. I could not believe some of the stuff I was hearing on that show last night.
It's really like what's GE really thinking? Oh, and by the way, did you see the end of The Simpsons this week? Where Ned Flanders talks about, he becomes the devil, and he talks about everyone who watches Fox is going to go to hell, including Fox Sports and anyone who reads the Wall Street Journal.
That's right.
Yeah, I actually saw a promo bringing it a little bit back to MSNBC for Keith Olbermann for tonight that was going to bash Fox News on always playing sleazy videos of scantily clad women when they are often the commentators like Bill O'Reilly condemning that type of aspect of our culture, but they use the video as tantalizing teases.
And basically his point is that one of the hypocrisies of O'Reilly, remember, O'Reilly general at least twice a week comes out a member of the three worst people in the world in that nightly feature that he does. But, going back to the successful sex harassment suit in which clearly O'Reilly showed that he had some perverse interests, shall we delicately state it, that the whole point of Olbermann's focus on this is that the guy who's really getting off on this is not his viewers, but he himself, that is Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, and
by the way, what do you think about the possibility of David Schuster getting his own show?
He is a reporter. He often now fills in for him now that Alison Stewart has gone to PBS.
He might get it. You think that Stephen Schuster might get his own show?
I got a feel. My sense is that Schuster likes reporting,
mm-hmm.
that he'd be uncomfortable stuck too long in an anchor chair. He seems now to be the number one fill-in for Olbermann, with the Stewart having gone to public broadcasting.
We're talking about MSNBC apparently positioning itself to lean more to the left, capitalizing on the rating success of Keith Olbermann's show. And we wonder what you think and what questions you have for Dave Berkman, who is a retired professor of mass communication at UW-Milwaukee. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Friday, November the 9th. Bashing Bush is good for ratings. Executives at MSNBC have discovered this and are reaching out for a bigger club. So reports a number of articles this week, including the New York Times. We are talking about why MSNBC is on purpose moving more to the left, and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest, Dave Berkman, retired UW-Milwaukee mass communications professor. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is riding high in the ratings, and the New York Times says MSNBC wants to replicate that success by looking for more left-leaning programs. A plan to reportedly hire Rosie O'Donnell has fallen through, but We're still talking about that. I want, Dave, you to react to, I'm looking at, I think this is a, CBS is reporting a reaction to this New York Times article saying this: having a cable channel that's throwing rotten vegetables at the administration as enthusiastically as Fox News does cartwheels for it would seem like a natural business niche seeking. But the Times points out a catch. Having a primetime lineup that tilts even more demonstrably to the left could be risky for General Electric, NBC's or MSNBC's parent company, which is subject to legislation and regulation far afield of the cable landscape. In other words, MSNBC's parents have a lot more to lose if one of those rotten tomatoes actually hits Cheney in the double chin.
Well, first of all, the assumption is there is not going to be a Republican administration for much longer. You'll soon see the FCC and the various regulatory agencies staffed by Democratic presidential appointees. That paragraph absolutely shocked me in that story because it seemed to be the Times implicitly saying, it's legitimate for a company that owns companies that own so much media to cover their rear ends by making sure that the news and commentary they broadcast favors those in control. I did not understand that paragraph in the context of that piece at all. Mm. Can I just point out one other thing in the interest of being ha-ha fair and balanced?
Okay.
Because there's a countervailing trend here, and I'm talking about the third of the cable networks, CNN.
Yeah, they right down the middle or what?
Well, CNN for years had basically been pretty much a network that led to mass narcolepsy with its straight down the middle, never an original insight. I mean, you know, Wolf Blitzer, I think, just characterizes it, his blandness. But what they have done over the last year is they have attempted to counter Fox by trying to out-Fox Fox. They've put Glenn Beck on the CNN headline news service. This guy is basically Michael Savage.
Yeah.
Nancy Grace, with her vigilante, encouraging programming. This is a woman, true, she was a prosecuting attorney, but she was cited three times by appeals courts in Georgia for withholding exculpatory evidence that would have proved a defendant she prosecuted were innocent, and they overturned those convictions. And then, of course, the other hot phenomenon in cable, there are really two hot ones right now, Keith Olbermann, but the other one is Lou Dobbs.
Oh, yeah.
And suffice to say that this guy now gets, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, more citations, more mentions on right-wing racist hate sites than any other media figure. I mean, this guy is playing this anti-immigration thing, which is really thinly coded anti-Hispanicism, and I give you very specific, I could cite very specific examples of that, to a degree. I mean, what we're seeing now with regard to Hispanics is given complete passage to remarks and attitudes and promotions of hatred that we saw 35 to 40 years ago when it came to blacks, and when they occur today leads to the firing of people like Mad Dog and Imus.
Yeah. So CNN, you believe, is trying to boost its ratings by finding more of these more outrageous voices on the right.
I don't think there's any question of it, yeah.
Yeah. Kelly in Schulzberg is with us. Hi, Kelly. You're on the air.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Good.
I think that all TV stations and radio stations and churches should all be neutral. I mean, there's no reason for that. You know, I was raised in the 50s and the 60s, and Walter Cronkite, Howard K. Smith, and all them, they never leaned anywhere. They just reported the news. I mean, and it was so, you know, you love politics then. But right now, right now, the way this, like this Pat Robertson and these churches carry on, it's childish. Sean O'Hannity and Tucker Carlson, you know, they're just like little children. And, I mean, that's sad. It really is, you know. I mean,
yeah.
So I'll take my comment off the end.
All right. But Kelly, you're talking about the news anchors that you liked from the past. Do you consider these talk show hosts along the same lines as a news anchor?
Well, Well, yeah, you know, it's like Overman. I think the real reason why Overman is so popular is because he's funny. The man is actually funny.
No, he sure is.
Mm-hmm. You know, he really is, and I think that's why he's so popular. It's not because he's leaning towards the left. But
I think it is because of that. I think in terms of something you just said previous to that, Overman is presenting himself as running a news show. But let me suggest that the flaw in what you're saying is this idea that good journalism is always straight down the middle, does not, you know, I mean, if you're reporting on evil, call it evil. You've heard me use this example before, Joy. I've done a number of times on this show. The idea of objective journalism, or everybody must be satisfied there, or must be against us, therefore we're doing the right thing, you know, it kind of comes down to, in World War II, I guess it would have been okay to say, should we kill 6 million? No. Should you know, you got two guys saying 6 million, right, you got zero. Hey, guys, how about 3 million? Or in 1860, sure, we should free the slaves. No, we shouldn't free the slaves. Okay, we free those whose names begin A to L. Sometimes the middle ground is wrong. Yeah.
Carrie in Augusta is with us now. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I guess my opinion is good for MSNBC to actually state the place where they're at versus Fox News that, you know, says we're fair and unbiased and then totally, you know, is hypocritical in that statement. And they have people who believe they're fair and balanced and that they're providing the truth. And I think good for a news station to say, you know what, this is what the opinion that we're sharing, because I think that for a lot of news programs right now that are sharing the news, A, we don't even know what the news is anymore. We don't know what's being released from the government and what to believe. So we need to almost, hopefully Americans are smart enough, which sometimes I question, but that we have two sides. Tell me your side. Tell me your side. Now, it's my part as an American to figure out what my belief and my opinion is on this. And good for MSNBC to say, we're going to lean left. And Fox needs to say, hey, we're leaning right. We're not fair and balanced.
I don't think MSNBC has actually conceded that. They're making what are tepid denials, you know, wink, wink, just as Fox is doing when it says fair and balanced, wink, wink. I don't fault them for that, because we know what we're getting. So, I don't see a problem with that.
Right. This article says officials at MSNBC emphasize they never set out to create a liberal version of Fox News, but Phil Griffin, a senior vice president, says it happened naturally. There isn't a dogma we're putting through. There's a go for it.
Yeah.
Let's see if we have. Let's check weather, and then we'll take more calls for Dave Berkman, former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk, a retired professor of mass comm at UW-Milwaukee, talking with us about the news about MSNBC trying to position itself as the left-leaning cable news service. We wonder if you think this is a smart idea, if you think you would welcome more liberal voices, or if you think there are already enough. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, I'll welcome in Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine, to talk about the Ron Paul phenomenon. Ron Paul, a Republican presidential candidate, congressman from Texas with a strong libertarian bent, isn't doing much in the national polls, but he is breaking all sorts of fundraising records. He topped $4.2 million in a 24-hour period this week. We're going to talk about the appeal of Ron Paul coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the appeal of Keith Olbermann on MSNBC, who is riding high in the ratings these days. coming close, at least in one demographic area, to Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. And an article in the New York Times this week saying that MSNBC might even make a stronger move to the left because it's a ratings winner these days. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Dale in Duluth is with us next. Hi, Dale. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Keith Olbermann, we believe, as my whole family does, is really not a left-leaner. He is just somebody who has had the guts to stand up and tell it like it is, since the right wing has owned the media for the last decade or so. And there are millions and millions of Americans out here that had no voice. And when Keith came along, it was like, wow, somebody actually understands this, and he knows what's going on. And at our house, Keith Olbermann is like Bonanza was back in the 50s. The world stops, and everybody sits down and watches Keith.
Yeah, he's got a lot of fans, doesn't he, Dave?
Yeah, but, he is left-leaning now. As somebody who shares those persuasions, I would say that is the objectivity. But let's not kid ourselves, he's left-leaning. And as to your point about, again, corporate control, General Electric is what, number two or three among the Fortune 500? This is one of the very major corporations in America, and a corporation with the most violently right-wing philosophies. Basically, Ronald Reagan was steered into the White House for a campaign that was funded and underwritten by General Electric, for which he had served as a corporate spokesman in the early 60s.
Paul in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. I haven't really heard it clearly, so I want to go over this quickly. The negotiations with Rosie O'Donnell broke off.
Mm-hmm.
And they had sold advertising basically for the first 2 months or so of the show. They were set to go, but there was a thing over length of the contract. But I also think
I hadn't heard that 2 months of
sales.
I hadn't
heard that either. But
yeah, it's on the internet this morning.
Okay.
The other thing is that with Rosie, I think there were some people at MSNBC thought that they were reaching for the kerosene instead of a commentary. There's no reason to wait to watch somebody explode. You know it's going to happen, and you just wait for it and say, "Oh boy, are we going to make money now?" But at the same time, man, are we going to wake up 30?
Well, in fact, The View did make more money. She was responsible for a major spike in their viewership during that period when she was on arguing much of the time with Hasselbeck, who, by the way, is the wife of the former Green Bay backup, now the Seattle quarterback, so there's a connection there.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Paul, for the call. John in Park Falls in an email: I could not understand why, when Fox News closed in on CNN's almost absolute control of cable news, that CNN didn't take the obvious tact of moving to the left as a purely business decision that would seem to have been a no-brainer. Well, we touched on this, but where does all this leave CNN?
Well, it's a function of time. When that first happened, I mean, within a year, to the surprise of virtually everybody in the industry and those who were, observing and reporting on it, Fox zoomed ahead number one. But we're talking now a period about 98, 99, 2000, when it seemed that America had totally moved to the right, and that it would be committing corporate suicide, not to mention that you wouldn't attract, the old cliches of, well, the left can't attract any viewers. So I think a lot of this, what this email would indicate, is a belief that they should have done this earlier, ignores the fact it's becoming practical with MSNBC now as a function of what is an entirely different political climate. And again, there is CNN making its move, but making its move to the right, and it has had some success with Dobbs, although I have a feeling that's going to be a relatively short-lived phenomenon.
You know, it's funny that you bring up Dobbs. We actually will be talking to Lou Dobbs on this program, I think, next week. He has a new book out.
Yeah.
He has a lot of fans, though, on the some on the left who you know, agree with his, you know, that there's a war on the middle class and his anti-NAFTA stance.
He is a populist, and the thing the left always forgets when talking about populism is a major component of populism, going back to Tom Watkins in Georgia at the turn of the century when the term first originated, is there is always been a fierce element of racial and anti-Semitic beliefs embedded within populism. Now, this guy will boast of how his wife is Mexican, his Mexican-born in-laws live with him, but this is a guy who also, forget immigration, when a caller emailed, you know, that, well, you know, how do we know all those Latinos who are voting? We have 13 million Latinos, or no, we have about 18 million Latino citizens. I'm not talking about the illegals. How do we know they're all that any of them are legal? He laughed and said, yeah, how do we know? That, to me, just summed up exactly where this guy is coming from and eliminated any doubt that he is basically and knowingly playing a viciously racist card.
Well, maybe we can talk to Lou Dobbs about that on November the 20th at 7:30.
Okay.
He's going to be here. Mary and Nina. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, or comment, I guess, is more about why have the American people allowed this to happen within the media? To me, it seems
because
like...
Because they agreed with it.
Well, but it seems to be related to like a feeling of there's no power. We have no power. We have no voice. And it just seems to me to be inherently indicative of an illness that's developing within America, that there is no, you know, the people feeling that the middle class is being destroyed, politics taking over where reason should reign. And it just seems to me that why is all this happening? I don't watch the news anymore.
Well,
I read papers.
The reason that it's happening is that there are many of us, they seem to be especially prevalent in the public broadcasting audience, who believe that we represent the people. No, that's why we're part of the minority that listens to and watches public broadcasting. We are not reflective. Remember, these same people who now are getting screwed by unregulated interest rate practices in the mortgage market, by constant cutbacks in the funding of consumer safety regulatory agencies are the same people who, up until their child got poisoned, were saying, hey, government regulation's bad. Government's bad. It can do no good. And that's been the great success of the right in this country, is saying that government, you know, what Reagan summed it up, government is the problem. And it isn't until we get screwed by government, because we're not that very bright. I'm sorry. American people do not always eventually see the truth. We're not a very bright people, and if you find that elitist, I'm elitist, but check out one of Jay Leno's jaywalkings when he goes back live again.
Tim in Oconomowoc. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Dave, I got to take issue with you. I think you've got it all wrong. Olbermann's popularity is when he criticizes big government. That's not liberal. That's libertarian. When he voices his libertarian views of small government, he's wildly popular, as is Lou Dobbs. Air America and the traditional liberal big government will fall flat every time. Watch the people, or listen to the people that come on in the next hour supporting Ron Paul. Just like your previous caller, people are just dying for the voice of reason, the voice of a constitutionally limited government. It's libertarianism that's popular, not liberalism.
Yeah, which is why Ron Paul got 1% of the vote back when he ran for president as a libertarian. Look, I literally don't think I have ever missed a Keith Olbermann show, and I will tell you, you are dead wrong on that. What he is attacking is evil big government. What he constantly is promoting, for example, in the way he has... remember he did one of his editorial things on the vetoing of the SCHIP program. This guy wants liberal New Deal type programming, and I think you're just reading this guy dead wrong if you believe that he is another libertarian.
Yeah, a little bit off the subject, but in our final moments, I was just looking at this another issue in the media this week on media objectivity. It was some research done by the Center on Press Politics and Public Policy, that reviewing 11 newspapers, major network television news, cable television news, radio talk shows, and prominent internet news sources, all but the radio shows, leaned to the left, according to the research.
Well, what I thought that if we're talking about the same study, what I thought they were saying was that they were giving a bit more attention to the Democratic frontrunners.
Right. I think that's where most of it is. But
yeah, but I'm not sure that one follows from the other. Look, the reality of the political coin is the Democrats are really going to have to go out of their way to blow it this time, although they may be well on their way to doing that. But what you want to see is who is the Democratic candidate. Right now you've got, the Republican candidate is much less likely to win, and you don't have any clear front runners developing there.
Yeah. We're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time, Dave. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Okay.
Dave Berkman, former host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Media Talk, a retired professor of mass communications at UW-Milwaukee, a regular guest on this program and also on the news and review program on WMCS in Milwaukee. Thanks to Karen Prager and to Christina Taylor for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.